Good morning, my friends. This is Missionary James Robinette with Action International Ministries Uganda. A good Lord's Day morning once again to you all. It's by the Lord's tender mercies that we are able to meet again this Lord's Day morning, and we thank Him for the grace that has come to us so that we are able to hear His Word and engage in His Word with Him through His Spirit and give Him glory and receive blessing and nourishment for our souls from the precious living Word of God. How faithful God has been to each one of us, how good the Lord has been, how merciful, how tender He has been to us. He has pitied us as a father pities his children. He has shown compassion to us. He has cared for us, and He has met our needs. Our Good Shepherd, the Son of the Father in heaven, has blessed us in bringing us to the Father and to bless us so that we receive such care as the children of God. My friends, let me encourage you this morning as we begin that though our difficulties and trials are great and difficult in this world, the mercies and comfort of God, the strength that He gives us in all trials, more than is a match for the difficulties we face. His grace far surpasses the difficulties. And so if you are in a tough time this morning, let me encourage you, dear Christian, the Lord will comfort you and the Lord will strengthen you and His grace will not depart from you, you who are truly saved in Christ, and the Lord will help you. He sees your need and He will help you in your time of need. And so call out upon His name. Pray to the Father through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in that holy name. Live a holy life. Draw close to God. Give honor and glory and pleasure to the Holy Spirit who is very near you. And God, in His infinite wisdom, will help you just as He has promised. My friends, our phone number is 0782-652-143. That's 0782-652-143. Please feel free to contact us. Share your prayer request with us. We'd be glad to respond to your communications. You can learn more about our ministry. That's Action International Ministries Uganda at www.actionuganda.net. At that website, you'll find very good discipleship study materials. And so go to the website and click materials, and you'll find a good list of very helpful Bible study aids and discipleship materials there. You'll also find evangelism materials. Feel free to download those documents and copy them, photocopy them, distribute them widely as the Lord leads you. There are also Luganda and Ateso materials at that website, www.actionuganda.net. My friends, as we begin this brand new year, let us remember especially to pray for our country, for Uganda. Let us also pray for neighboring countries, Kenya and Somalia and Sudan and the Congo and Rwanda, Tanzania, Burundi. And let me encourage you to remember often, in fact, to pray daily for your nation and for nations in our immediate area. Many of you know that there is great unrest in Nigeria this week. There have been killings of Christians there. There have been bombings and shootings in Christian churches. And so let's also remember the country of Nigeria. And so let us seek the Lord together in prayer, dear friends. Father, we do cry out. We seek You, Lord, and we desire to see Your face by faith, to enjoy Your favor and Your presence, to be near You. Because to be near You is our blessing, Lord, and we desire that blessing deep in the depths of our hearts, in our souls. We long for You, Lord God, and we desire to meet with You. And so bless us as we draw near to You, to draw near to us. Lord, we do cry out for your mercies. Minister your grace and wisdom and help to our souls during the sermon today from your word. Bless the word to our hearts. And then, Lord, lead us to remember to pray often, especially in these next few days, for Uganda. We pray for mercy for this land, that you would truly revive your church and that you would ground your church ever more fully and faithfully in the Word of God and the truth. We pray that the Ugandan church would come to good terms with the doctrines of grace and so understand much more fully the precious salvation that is ours in Jesus Christ, all for your glory and for the blessing that your church desires and needs. Lord, we pray too for grace and for strengthening in your church in Kenya and in Tanzania, in the Congo, in Sudan, particularly South Sudan and Rwanda. And we cry out especially, Lord, that the peoples in darkness in Somalia would hear the good news of your salvation. Bring grace, the true knowledge of God, to these people who sit in a land of darkness in their great time of trouble. We pray for mercy for those who are suffering as a result of the recent drought and famine there. Shower them with your goodness, Lord. We just thank you, and we pray for protection for your true people in Uganda and in these nations. And we pray that you would restrain the evil one. Hold him back. Hold him down, O God, in your mighty, powerful ability, so that your gospel will speed forward. We thank you for this time. Bless my listeners today. Bring salvation and hope, encouragement and good to them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. My friends, we're continuing in the book of Ephesians chapter 1 this morning. And let's begin reading this morning in chapter 1, verse 15. If you have your Bible available, please turn there with me. That's Ephesians 1, verse 15. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Amen. May the Lord add his blessings to his word. And so, my friends, we see there in verse 15 that Paul, having taught us about the wonderful grace of God, the work of God in his awesome sovereignty to save us, now begins to tell us about his heart's desire and his prayer for the Ephesian Christians. And we can understand that the apostle also reveals to us in this section of verses his heart's desire for us, truly for all who have believed in Jesus, who will believe in Jesus in time. The prophet, the New Testament prophet Paul, speaks forth, brings forth to us the precious word of God, and he teaches us as the Spirit speaks through him. He is an oracle of God about the apostle's deep love for believers, his frequent thinking about the Christians in Ephesus, particularly here in context, and how it is that because he saw that they were true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he sees this, we notice in verse 15, because of the love they have for the saints. Paul has a deep concern. He is thoughtful. He thinks often of the Ephesian Christians. He gives thanks for them. He gives God praise for them, for their great salvation. And he remembers them in prayer. And as we begin this morning, let us particularly note that last thought that I just shared with you. Because of love, because of grace, because the gospel has truly saved the Ephesians, Paul prays often for them. He makes mention of them in his prayers to God. And as a side note, we see that the Apostle Paul is a man of prayer. He is a man who habitually prays. In fact, we remember that the New Testament teaches us that the apostles were men set apart to God in the ministry of the word. They were students of the word. They were prophets, many of them. God spoke through them and brought the sacred scripture to us through them. They were men who taught the word, who preached the word, and they were preeminently men also of prayer. Their great work in life was to seek God in the word and to minister the word and to pray. And so Paul, as an apostle, is a man of prayer. Let me just add that, as I've shared with you before in the Sunday morning message times, God has been impressing on my heart in the last year particularly how important it is that I, as a Christian minister, pray. I've always known that. I have always prayed. I've enjoyed prayer. But particularly in recent months, God has been showing me that what he really desires most of all from me is my presence and my time and my heart's going out to him, my love for him, which is expressed in spending time with him and especially in prayer, coming to worship him, coming to sing praises to him. In fact, this morning I enjoyed singing songs of praise to the Lord God as I sat in this plastic chair that I used there on the veranda. God has been showing me that it's a wonderful blessing to pray from the word, and I've been doing that habitually for some time now. Reading the word and then making petitions and supplications, praying from the word, remembering the needs of others. And God has been answering those prayers. And I know that as a Christian minister, that I must look to the great apostle Paul as an example of how it is that I am to minister the word of God. And I am reminded primarily, though, that as a believer in Christ, I must look to my brother, Paul, a fellow believer, and learn from him and follow his example and be a man of prayer. You know, I really like that idea that Christianity is simply a fellowship and relationship with God. It is coming to know God and coming to enjoy his presence and then enjoying his presence over and over again in time until we go to glory and our ultimate blessing, forever being with the Lord and enjoying his presence eternally, all for his glory and, yes, for our deep enjoyment and fulfillment. God created us and God saved us for this ultimate purpose. And so I find that I become very busy in ministry, which must always be secondary to the first thing that God calls me to, that is to enjoy his presence, to fellowship with him. And if you're like me, you find that it's very easy to get distracted and to forget that our real blessing as believers is God himself. And we serve him. We are probably quite active, very busy for him. But the first thing he desires from us is our hearts. And he desires us He desires for us to meet with him. And so I hope that that thought will encourage you as we begin this year of 2012. And as you think about your relationship with God, we see from the text that Paul, the man of prayer, did not cease to give thanks and make mention of the Ephesian Christians in his prayers. And so, my friends, let me encourage you, be thankful. Continue in thankfulness. Don't complain. Thank God. Give him praise in that thanksgiving for others. And continue in prayer for others. We find there in verse 15 that because Paul has taught us such glorious things about the nature of God and the nature of our salvation, that he now brings us to understand that what God has done in his own life in knowing these glorious things that he has taught us is that he is now led to faithfully apply these glorious truths, this knowledge about God and salvation, and he applies this knowledge particularly in prayer. Verses 15 through 22 is a great and glorious section of Scripture in which we learn much about the nature of true prayer, and we learn how we should pray. And it's going to be our blessing for the next 2 or 3 weeks to look at this section of verses and learn about how we can better pray. We can learn from the Apostle Paul himself, a man of prayer who learned many wonderful things in prayer, and we can see what God himself teaches us about prayer through the Apostle Paul. And so I'm excited about this section. I hope that you'll be eager to listen in coming Sunday mornings too, as we learn about prayer. We do want to make mention, though, a bit more fully about this wonderful truth that the faith of the Ephesian Christians was such that their faith was spoken of by other churches and by other individual Christians. This is a great testimony to the church in Ephesus. The fact that they believed in Christ in such an obvious way that others would make mention and speak of their faith in an exemplary way. They would speak of the reality of their faith in Christ is really a remarkable thing. And that leads me to ask myself, and I want to ask you this morning too, my friends, does our faith result in such obvious change in us that others who see us, others who hear us, others who know about us would also remark certainly that we are Christians? Would unbelieving people see Christ in us in such a way that they would very clearly and with certainty say, this person is a Christian? Though they might also say, I don't really understand their religion, I'm not a Christian, but there's something very good about this person. You see, that's the kind of testimony that Paul has received about the Ephesians. He's heard about their faith from others. Their faith is a real faith. They are, in fact, reality, true Christians who have come to believe in God, and their lives have profoundly changed because of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, my friends, I think that we give God high glory, and our testimony is confirmed to us as good and valid when those about us can comment about our faith and see it to be a living and true faith. If someone who knows us, perhaps even an unbeliever, can say, I see that this person is changed. I see that this person truly believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. I see that this person lives a good, blameless life. I see that this person has a true love for Christ because I see that he has a true love for the saints of Christ. If others can see that in us, my friends, that is wonderfully God-honoring. And that is such a blessing to our souls. It in fact, gives us joy that our lives are as they should be, all to the glorious praise of God's grace. And so if there is an area of your life in which you are not reflecting the glory of God as you know that you should be, so that others could unmistakably say that you are a Christian, then let me encourage you to make that a goal in this year of 2012. Seek God about that area of your life so that you are changed by the powerful grace of God. Pray especially about that area of your life so that you will be made more Christ-like by the grace of God, so that others will be much more easily able to say, this person is a true Christian. There is a great and wonderful change. He or she is a loving person. We see, in fact, there in verse 15, that the Ephesians' love for all the saints, not just their church alone, but for all of the saints, that would take into account all of the saints in the various churches of Asia Minor, of the churches in Europe, and of the churches in Israel, the churches in Jerusalem, Judea, in that area of Palestine. And so word had gone out about the glorious work of God in the Ephesians' lives. In that entire area, we would think, they could comment about the glorious work that God had done in their lives. And their love for all of the saints. We remember, in fact, that the Ephesians were active in giving to other churches. That was a real expression of love. Their love for other true Christians, not just their church or their particular group in their area, but their big universal, if you will, love for all who believe in Christ. Their vision to love all in Christ wherever they may be in the known world at that time. We remember that Paul says that the gospel was preached to the world in that first generation, in Paul's generation, meaning not that he preached personally to every person alive on the globe, but that the gospel had a far-reaching extent. It reached to the known world mostly during that time. And wonderfully for the Ephesians, their love for those Christians in those various places had become known. This brought much joy to Paul's heart. He naturally would thank God for the great work of grace in the Ephesians' hearts. And because they were in his heart and mind, he would remember them in prayer often. And so, my friends, Paul was especially blessed to be the spiritual father, the founder of the Ephesian church. And as a spiritual father, he had a particular fatherly joy that his children were true Christians, that they truly loved God, that they had faith, hope, and love, which continues, which was an abiding love. And so Paul could thank God for them. Just another kind challenge this morning. Another question that I hope will encourage us and lead us to consider our lives. Are we living in such a way that others, true believers especially, can give thanks for us? Can other people thank God for your walk with Christ as they see Christ in you? Well, my friends, this is going to be true in some measure for each of us who are true Christians. Christ will be unmistakably seen in us. And so we are encouraged again to live a life that pleases God, a life of holiness, so that God will have his glory as others thank God for us. Another kind challenge, another question this morning. Can your pastor thank God for you? Because you are a part of your church, can your pastor rejoice and praise God that you are there contributing, bringing blessing, loving the saints of God in your church, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, I trust that that statement would be true for many of us who are listening today. As a pastor, I have to share with you that I too am led to thank God, and it encourages me in the ministry. It challenges me and encourages me and blesses me when I see the saints of God that I can give genuine and much thanks for, and that I remember often in prayer, and that I see Christ in, especially those that God has helped me to share the gospel with and that he has saved. Those spiritual children, if you will, who are faithful and holy, my friends, bring me much joy, and I thank God, I praise God for them. And so we are challenged again this morning to live holy lives so that our spiritual leaders will praise God and thank God for us. And by the way, my friends, it just seems kind of the way we are that those that we have joy in, we remember often. I think that there's a real encouragement and an incentive in prayer. We can pray for those that we see God working powerfully in. We remember them often. That's really kind of a help to our memory. That wonderful shining example of love for Christ comes often into our hearts, and we remember that person. And so another good thing and application in this for us is that as we live good lives, others will remember us, and they will be helped to remember us in prayer and make mention of us in prayer also. Let's end our time this morning with this simple thought that Paul, the great man of prayer, often made mention of the Ephesians. They came to mind often, and we remember that Paul was a man who ministered to many, many people in a very large area. And yet he remembered this church. They were very special to him, and so special that he often remembered them. He was faithful to pray, I'm sure, for all of the Christians that he was blessed to serve. But he particularly remembered the Ephesians, made mention of them in his prayers according to the scripture. And so, my friends, may the Lord bless you this week. Let us enjoy the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Let us live in holiness. Let us be faithful saints. Let us trust the Lord, love other saints, and by our example, others will be led to praise God in thanksgiving. And they too will remember us in prayer. And let me again challenge you, let us continue faithfully in prayer, especially in this year of 2012. May the Lord bless you. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and his precious blessing of his presence in salvation is yours now and forever. Amen.